Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Hunted by Maggie Sunseri. Narrated by Rachel LeBlanc. Chapter 1. I was in Lucius's bed again. The room was dimly lit, the silk beneath me cool and sleek. I was wearing nothing but that black slip with lace trim. The one I'd worn when I let his commanding, all-consuming energy tether me to this realm. When he instructed me to heal my cut wrists, and I did it. Not for me. For him. The gold chandelier above went dark suddenly, and the room filled with black shadows that screamed and suffocated. Everything turned cold, and I trembled from panic. I sat up, unable to see through the shroud of black. The void was so lonely, so vast, like the blank canvas of space before the great burst of all of creation. I pulled my knees to my chest, waiting for the spark that would drive it all away. A hand met mine, and the screams ceased. The darkness opened up. Soft light chased away the slithering black tendrils of smoke. Everything was quiet as the king's piercing blue eyes found mine.
"It can't hurt us," he promised, his gaze deep.
His alluring energy wrapped around us like a fortress and crackled like lightning.
"You're safe here."
"What does it want?" I asked, my voice shaking. I never wanted to feel that cold or alone ever again. When he grasped my face in his palms, I steadied.
"More,"
he answered, his breath feathering against my cheek.
"It always wants more."
That should have terrified me, but it didn't now. Not with Lucius here driving it all away, anchoring me in the eye of the storm. "I want more, too," I whispered. He smiled, his eyes somehow sharp and soft at once, his energy both the most terrifying and seductive thing I'd ever felt inside of me.
"I know you do."
He pushed me onto my back, angling himself over me.
"It can't touch you. Only I can do that."
His words soothed all of my lingering fear of the void's perilous depths. A slender finger trailed down from my lips to the lace of the slip in the center of my chest. When I shuddered, his gaze darkened. He leaned in at the same time as he pushed my head to the side, exposing my neck. His lips were at my ear, his tongue meeting the rough spot of the scar he left that day in the Astrals. His teeth scraped against my skin. I screamed. The whole world shook and spun, a loud crashing and popping ringing in my ears. An explosion of color and movement ripped me from that bedroom and spit me back out into the landscape of the cosmos, where everything was dark and quiet, but in a comforting way. A way that felt like home. Beneath my feet, flat earth manifested, and with it a field of gravity. I sucked in air, still reeling, struggling to regain the structure of my ego. Whoever the hell I was in that dream was not me. I spun around, taking in the barren astral landscape. The ground beneath me was solid and white, like a crystal moon in the middle of space. Stars and galaxies sparkled and swirled in all their color and light. I crossed my arms, and a shiver curled along my spine as I reacclimated. Where was my physical body? I took a step back and yelped as my body collided against someone else's. I turned, only to come face to face with Lucius. His nostrils flared, his energy subdued in this realm, but visible enough to be dark and fiery. He was even wearing his silly golden crown. My blood boiled. Now I understood completely. "You!" I spat, taking a quick step back.
"Me?"
he parroted. A vein pulsed in his neck.
"I feel like that should have been my line."
"What?" I shook my head. "Was it not enough to force yourself on me in the physical realm? Now you have to do it in my dreams?" I clenched my fists, my power preparing for both aggression and defense at once. The rage on his face dissolved, replaced by amusement and a smirk. My physical body was in Icera, with Daylan. Yes, it was all coming back to me. We freed the truth from Lucius's magical binds, survived our escape, and made it to a remote coven hidden from the king's reign of terror. You lost, Lucius. Now leave me the fuck alone. He laughed, but his eyes were dark and calculating as he studied me. His gaze traveled the length of my body, and I realized in horror that I was somehow still wearing the black slip.
You're the one who pulled me here, dear Anya, he said softly. But I would love to hear more about this dream of yours.
Then I remembered how he'd slit Santana's throat in retaliation, her blood flowing toward me like a river as I left her behind. Seething hatred rippled through my blood, almost as deep as the sour taste of guilt. Lucius's contemplative gaze and cocked head, and the way the corners of his lips were turned up, was the last image I saw before I exploded in a burst of white, hot light and snapped back into my body. Daylan and I were cocooned together, my nude body against his under a pile of blankets. My head was on his chest, my legs tangled with his as his arms held me to him. We must have dozed off again soon after awaking the first time in this new place. This free place. The smell of spices and cooking still wafted through the air, and my stomach rumbled in response. The hunger pangs were sharp and biting now. My adrenaline had been pumping too strongly before for me to feel any pain at all, aside from the utter anguish of witnessing my new friend bleeding out on the ground before us. I hadn't eaten since before I died. I died. Then I'd escaped the supposed all-powerful, illegitimate king of Aradia with the love of my life. It had been an eventful week. I knew that Daylan had barely eaten or slept the 4 days I was dead, during which he guarded my lifeless body like a feral animal, driving himself to hallucinations. I shuddered, nuzzling closer to his bare chest. I counted his heartbeats, listening for their steady rhythm to ground me here, to keep me from slipping into the memories that haunted and tormented. Like when I thought he'd died in my arms out in the snow, when all the hope of our deliverance had been replaced by desperation and terror. He stirred when I clutched him tighter, and his heart picked up its pace. I lifted my head, suddenly aware of the faint humming and footsteps somewhere nearby. I figured it was the woman who rescued us, but I didn't think much about her now as I found Daylan's eyes. "You need to eat," I blurted. He blinked. Then he broke out into a slow grin.
"Isn't that my line?"
I started to smile back, but those words brought back the memory of my dream and subsequent astral travel. It could be hard to tell the difference between the two, but I knew the first was a dream because it was hazier now that I was in waking life. The second felt just as real as any other memory, which meant either Lucius had found a way to twist my dreams into the creepy and demented, for whatever psychopathic reason, or my subconscious had decided to torture me. It had to have been Lucius. But I didn't want to think about any of that, and especially not him, for as long as possible. I wouldn't let him ruin our first moments of freedom. As I stared into the dark brown of Daylan's eyes, flecked with tendrils of gold, I realized with an aching sadness that this was his first moment of freedom in more than 2 decades. "You're free," I said, and his hands stopped their slow trail down the length of my back. His brows creased.
"We both are."
I nodded. I didn't want to call attention to my realization if he wasn't already thinking it. Daylan had spent nearly his entire life doing the bidding of the people who slaughtered his parents and everyone he'd ever known and loved. The people who burned our home to the ground and enclosed it in an impenetrable barrier, sealing the magic of the land that had been cultivated for centuries. And they did it all for the promise of power that would break the universe's natural balance of give and take, ebb and flow, and in turn mold the world to the authoritarian nightmare of their making. The shadow magic that Lucius now fed and sustained was strengthened by suffering, displacement, and cruelty. It had poisoned him and everyone and everything he touched. It was breaking down the barriers between dimensions and eroding all natural magic. If he continued, he just might destroy not only Aradia, but also Earth, the Astrals, and even realms unknown to humans and witches. Now that I'd liberated the truth of Lucius's unnatural power from their binds, all of Aradia was free to learn who he really was. They could learn why he was torturing witches in his vast underground dungeons and erasing entire covens from the map. And in turn, they would understand that the myths he'd told about his ascension to the throne were a load of shit. He wasn't chosen by the heavens and made a god. He was a psychopathic tyrant, and deities hated him. I remembered fondly a god striking him in the Astrals with a bolt of lightning, which was proof enough he was despised in more than one realm of existence. I took in a breath as Daylan and I silently held each other's gazes. If I was anyone else, our escape could have been the end of the story. We could decide to settle here, free to finally learn and explore everything about each other, and live the way our parents lived. We could let others fight the battles ahead. But I wasn't someone else. I was Anya, keeper of the old ways, born of magic and hope to save the world from its shadow and restore balance.
"Let's eat, then,"
Daylan said, one hand now skimming my cheek. I leaned into his palm, and the look in his eyes drove all other thoughts away. It was a look of a man who'd been reverently tasked in protecting the woman he fell in love with, only to watch her die and then return to life 4 days later. "We're very naked," I said, finally tuning in to the humming in the distance. The melody halted.
"I laid some clothes out for y'all on the chair,"
the witch called from another room.
"Supper's ready whenever you are."
Her voice was deep and cheerful, complementary to the earthy browns, reds, and greens of her aura. It was accented similarly to people I'd known from the southern United States back on Earth, though I hadn't heard enough accents from that region to pinpoint the exact dialect. Daylan tensed at the sound of her voice, gripping my waist tightly for a moment before he seemed to remember we were safe. That I was safe. I kissed next to his mouth, and he let go. I rose and spotted the neatly folded clothing on a deep brown chair. This living area was cozy and softly lit by a dimmed light fixture above. Additional chairs were angled toward the fire. The decor was warm and nature-themed. A painting hung on a far wall depicting two children, a boy and a girl, playing in an autumnal forest. Luminescent butterflies fluttered around them, and small animals scurried underneath bramble. I paused, lost in the emotions of the brushstrokes as they flowed into me. An overpowering wave of nostalgia and childlike awe almost brought me to my knees. Daylan's lips found my shoulder, and he reached around me for the clothes. I looked away from the painting to meet his eyes. And even without my ability to read him, I knew the imagery had evoked the same reaction. It reminded us of what the Order had stolen, what we could never get back. He passed me a pair of form-fitting soft black pants, a knitted cream sweater, and plain black undergarments. He pulled on his own pair of boxers, dark denim pants, and a long-sleeved black shirt.
"Jeans!"
I exclaimed, the sudden outburst startling Daylan as he fastened a belt to mitigate their loose fit. He glanced at me with wide eyes, bemused.
"I kept telling Clarice how much I missed jeans. I'm just happy to see normal clothing again,"
I explained with a sheepish shrug.
He grinned.
Me too.
Daylan stood close to me as we followed the smell of food into the kitchen. I was perplexed to see green plants hanging outside a window above the sink, as if we were no longer in an uninhabitable snowy wasteland. The counters were sleek, shiny wood, and the cabinets were painted red. There were oven mitts, spices, and fresh vegetables strewn about. The kitchen was just as warm and cozy as the rest of the house, and I was amazed at the way our host's aura melded into the energy of the home and the land surrounding it. Everything was perfectly balanced. Everything was right, and I hadn't realized just how polluted, unsettling, and grim our existence in the castle had been until now. I knew Aradia wasn't meant to feel that way. It wasn't the land my mothers had told me about in bedtime stories. Icy Era was, though. I'd only been here a matter of hours, and I knew absolutely nothing about its landscapes and its inhabitants. But I already knew. This was how it was supposed to be. And despite all of what had brought us here, I was still flooded with so much gratitude and relief that we'd made it. The woman who'd saved us turned from where she was cleaning a cutting board at the sink, flashing us a dimpled, crooked grin. She wore a burnt orange sweater and loose-fitting brown slacks, again easily matching her aura. Her light brunette hair was in a messy bun, and she appeared to be in early adulthood like us. She had a light skin just slightly tanned from the sun, dark brows, and honey brown eyes. Her full lips had a prominent cupid's bow. She wiped her hands on a nearby towel.
"I'm Prairie. It's nice to finally meet you properly. Glad to see y'all up and moving about."
She eyed Daylan with a raised brow as he stepped just ahead of me, in a clear defensive stance. I tugged on his arm.
"I can read her, remember? We're safe."
"Sorry," he mumbled, shaking his head as he stepped back. "I'm Daylan."
"And I'm Anya." "No worries,"
Prairie said, though something edgy flashed in her aura for a moment, almost as if Daylan had offended her.
"I'd imagine it wasn't an easy journey to get here,"
she offered,
"but it's just regular folks around here. No one's treated better or worse than anyone else. We just want peace."
She busied herself with putting away dishes and pans as she spoke. I detected a tone in her voice with hidden meaning that I couldn't quite decipher. I nodded, and Daylan stilled at my side. I glanced over to see that his eyes were calculating. He was parsing through Prairie's words just as I was, his demeanor still made rigid by his role as commander. Or perhaps his duty as my protector, and I was caught between finding it comforting and off-putting.
"Anyway, I know you'll need some time to recover and recuperate. I'm heading to my folks' house, and you're free to stay here until... well, until you have a talk with Ruth and Jesco. The High Priestess and Priest, and things are more decided,"
she said vaguely.
"But don't worry about any of it for now. I'll try to hold them off for a couple days, but knowing Ruth, she's already got her ear pressed up against my front door."
She shook her head and laughed to herself.
"There's plenty of food and whatever else you need. Make yourselves right at home."
"Thank you," I said. "For saving us and for opening your home to us." She nodded and scratched the back of her head.
"Of course. I made enough butternut squash stew and bread to feed you for a while, so you don't have to lift a finger."
She gestured to a basket with a loaf of bread and to a pot on the stove. My mouth watered.
"Thank you,"
Daylan echoed, his hand finding mine.
"I'll get out of your hair,"
she said, slipping into an adjacent room bathed in natural light. I followed her, curious to know where the light was coming from and why her skin was sun-kissed in the middle of the mountainous Arctic. A shiver ran down my spine, and my jaw dropped. I was barely aware of Prairie saying something else as she grabbed a packed bag off a round wooden dining table. Glass windows with the curtains drawn revealed entirely different scenery than what we'd seen when we first arrived. It was
bright out, and trees decorated the landscape. Some were barren from winter, and others were evergreen. There wasn't any snow in sight, and definitely no sign of a blizzard. I saw other houses across a cobblestone street, and tears nearly sprang to my eyes at the sound of children playing in a yard. There was a little girl hiding behind a tree and an older boy with his hands over his eyes. He appeared to be counting. I couldn't stop the smile from stretching across my face. They were playing hide and seek.
"Ow, my fiddle," Prairie said.
Out of the corner of my eye, I saw her stoop down to pick the instrument up. I focused back on her. With a tan duffel bag on her shoulder and her arms loaded with random items, a bow and fiddle included, she blew a strand of hair out of her face.
"Could you get the door for me?"
I faltered before springing into action. "Do you need help?" I asked as I moved to the next room, a small foyer with stairs leading to a second story, and then to a front door painted reddish-brown.
"Nah, they're just down the street. Like I said, rest up and make yourselves at home, you hear?"
She stepped outside and glanced back at us. I smiled, quickly wiping at a pesky tear that had escaped. The air was cold, but nowhere near as biting as what had nearly frozen us to death.
"Wait, I don't understand. Where are we?"
She grinned wide.
"I, Sierra. They didn't touch it."
"How?"
"Some old, powerful mountain magic, of course," she said as she descended the porch steps. "Jesco tells the story best. Well, he tells all stories best. You'll just have to wait till then."
As she gave us a final wave and walked away, Daylan tugged softly at my arm.
"There are children," I said, "and it's a neighborhood. There are normal witches here, just living."
I rambled, peering in both directions of the street at the rows of houses spread out just far enough to allow for big yards and privacy, but still close enough together to signify a community. There were trees, native plants, and cultivated gardens, some naturally deadened and some alive by magic, and the houses were natural-looking and settled into the woodsy landscape. There was an aura here, I realized, that wasn't just a collection of individuals. It was a living, breathing force of the coven. An energy that I could feel blowing through the air, seeping out of the soil and wrapping around each home. The castle had no aura. It was just Lucius, his darkness, and the hungry and lost energy of his ignorant subjects, all swirling in a confused whirlwind of shadows. Everything was disconnected. But here, it was all whole. Like I sensed before, everything was as it should be. And I felt like I could finally breathe for the first time since I'd arrived in Aradia.
"Can you feel it?" I asked.
"Yes,"
Daylan whispered, raw emotion in his voice that reeled me back to rest against his chest. He kissed the top of my head.
"But food."
I laughed. "Okay, yes, food." Chapter 2. Like the rest of Aradia, Isiera had electricity, plumbing, and amenities that worked pretty much the same as Earth, though a lot of it seemed to be blended with and fueled by magic. I didn't see any smart technology around, but I thought that might have been for the best. Imagining Lucius on the internet was absurd enough to make me laugh. But then I remembered him slitting Santana's throat, and I set my spoon down in my nearly finished second serving of stew.
"How are you feeling?" Daylan asked. "Were you injured at all before the jump?"
We sat close together at the dining table facing the windows, and I was relieved that no one had so much as glanced in our direction. Did they know we were here? Did they know who we were? Maybe Prairie had told them to leave us alone like she did the High Priestess and Priest.
"No, I don't think so."
It was all a blur to me now, just a mess of flailing limbs and magic and panic, right up until Lucius slit my friend's throat. To punish me.
"Hey."
Daylan reached for me, his fingers brushing some of my copper strands behind my ear.
We don't have to unpack it all right away. Prairie was right. It's probably better if we just rest and recharge for a few days.
I knew his touch had found the rough scar Lucius had branded into the top of my ear when he frowned and retracted his hand. I swallowed. Yes, that's probably best. The list of things we needed to unpack was so long it could probably stretch all the way back to the castle, where our friends' lives were in the hands of a pervy, sadistic tyrant. Not thinking about it all was clearly going to be difficult. But you were injured, I said, glancing at his neck. The hex chain hadn't left any mark on his skin.
You flooded me with a lot of power. It sped up my healing.
He rose.
Come, let's get cleaned up and then spend the whole day in bed. Let me take care of you.
His gaze beneath thick lashes held a certain finality, an unspoken command that had me on my feet before I even knew I'd made that decision. I wanted to say that he needed to be taken care of too, but I knew in that moment that Daylan needed to cling to his purpose and singular sense of control now more than ever. For the first time in his life, he was free, but so were all of his most shameful, repressed memories, which Amos warned would take the full support of a coven to heal from. And I had no idea how he was keeping himself together. I knew taking care of me was probably at the core of it. I let him guide me upstairs, where we looked around for a shower, and I realized I needed him to do this just as much as he needed it. There were two bedrooms with a bathroom in between, which made Prairie's generosity even grander. There was more than enough room for the three of us in her home, but she chose to give us this space and privacy. It made my already emotional heart swell. The bathroom was quaint, just big enough to fit two people comfortably. Definitely not castle-sized. The wallpaper was a soft yellow, with muted natural light coming in from an obscured glass window above a bathtub against the far wall. There were mirrors over a double sink and a walled-in shower to the left of a clawfoot bathtub. Daylan undressed me while the shower warmed, kissing a different body part as he removed each article of clothing. My shoulder, my collarbone, my navel, and then back up to the spot above my heart. When his lips met mine, I was nude. When Daylan was nude, too, I couldn't help but stare. He was very, very hot. And mine.
I meant take care of you in a sweet way, but now that you're looking at me like that...
Daylan trailed off. Like what? I asked coyly.
My eyes are up here, Anya.
Daylan teased, but a dark edge to his voice sent my mind places I didn't know it could go right now. Was there something wrong with us? That we could jump from discussions filled with such grief and devastation to shameless flirting with ease? No. There was nothing wrong with us, I decided. It was Lucius and his shadows that were wrong, and Daylan and I deserved every single slice of normalcy we could claim in this world. It's hardly my fault you're all muscly and beautiful. I sighed, and that was enough for Daylan to pretend he wasn't blushing as he lunged for me. He lifted me into his arms, my legs wrapping around him. Our lips locked as he carried me into the shower, his tongue skimming my bottom lip. I was no longer wondering if we were normal. It didn't matter. When we were together like this, nothing else existed. It was just us holding on to each other dearly in the eye of the storm. Daylan acting as my anchor amidst turbulent waves and currents. We let the water wash away the evidence of death and struggle from our skin. The full body sigh of relief from us both was palpable. Daylan was gentle as he bathed me, despite the flirtatious lead-up. You make me feel so safe, I whispered into his chest. My body flushed against his as he massaged shampoo into my hair. He paused for a moment before continuing.
That's all I've ever wanted.
A lump formed in my throat.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?